Hi, this is Karin Zissis of ASCOA Online. The Copa America, South America's soccer championship, kicks off on Sunday, June 13th in Brazil. That's not where it was supposed to take place, though. It was originally slated to be hosted in both Argentina and Colombia. With COVID cases still spiking across Brazil and pushback over the tournament from players and fans alike, is a tournament during an ongoing pandemic worth the risk? To soccer superfans and Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, the answer is yes. But to others, including some on Brazil's national team, the answer is not necessarily. That's what Felipe Cardenas, a staff writer covering soccer at The Athletic, told my colleague Chase Harrison. In this episode, they talk about what the Copa America could look like this year, and the political and public health implications of holding it despite South America being far from controlling the pandemic.
You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latino America in Foco.
America Latina in Foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas, on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
Felipe, thanks so much for coming on the Latin America in Focus podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chase. Happy to be here.
So on Sunday, Brazil will host the opening match of the Copa America, just about 2 weeks after they announced they will be hosting the tournament in the first place. The tournament will run from June 13th to July 10th, with 10 teams competing from across the continent. But Brazil was not the original slated host of this event. Let me start by asking, what happened to the original hosts of the 2021 Copa America?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a whirlwind last, month, if you will. The original co-hosts were Colombia and Argentina, which would have been the first time in the, I believe it's the 114-year history of the tournament, where two countries were going to host. It was going to be obviously set in 2020. The pandemic canceled or suspended that version, that edition of the 2020 tournament. And, you know, up until May, both countries were still lined up to be host of this tournament. But what has happened since then in both countries has been really like a microcosm of the biggest issues involving politics, sport, and COVID-19 in South America. Colombia was essentially stripped of their co-hosting duties by CONMEBOL, which is the South America governing body of the sport. They were stripped of their co-hosting duties by, I think, a combination of a few things. One, yes, COVID is still not, it's not under control in Colombia. But really what happened beginning in April, the current administration, the President Iván Duque, in an effort to perhaps create some sort of tax reform, a pandemic relief measure, he proposed a tax reform bill that was really going to heavily impact the middle class. And so you take that effort, you combine it with the citizens of Colombia's essential, their increased anguish and agony of being in this COVID-19 nightmare, which they are not in the same place that we are here in the United States. The access to vaccines is just not readily available. They've still been under strict protocols. And so that led to a lot of frustration. And what happened was there were violent protests, some peaceful protests as well, but really the entire country just sort of stopped. There was a work stoppage. There was increased cases of police brutality on unarmed citizens. There were vandals and gangs that kind of took over different cities and different streets and different residential areas. And it turned into a big political and really a security problem for CONMEBOL. And so when reports started to bubble that Colombia is going to be stripped of the tournament, the Duque administration, sort of in a Hail Mary attempt to keep the tournament in Colombia, proposed just really postponing the tournament until November or December, where COVID was going to be better managed and this political situation would be under control. CONMEBOL basically said, thank you, but no, we're taking the tournament away from Colombia. And at the time, Argentina was going to be sole host. It took, I think, less than a week, and public health officials, the health ministry in Argentina, advised the president of Argentina in saying it is not a good idea to host this tournament right now. COVID continues to ravage Argentina. From a sporting sense, they're still playing without fans. There are tournaments that are still being canceled because of outbreaks. And so the Argentine government made a decision to withdraw from hosting the tournament. And just 24 hours after that decision, CONMEBOL awarded the tournament to Brazil, which not only are the defending champions and they hosted the tournament in 2019, they are among the world's coronavirus hotbeds. So it's been controversy after controversy.
Absolutely. And Brazil has widely been known as one of the countries most affected by the disease. We're talking about 477,000 deaths. So I bet a lot of people are wondering how exactly CONMEBOL landed on Brazil as the host. Can you walk me through a little bit of what that decision looked like and maybe how unanimous that decision is among the Brazilian government and the Brazilian soccer administration?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, but clearly President Jair Bolsonaro of Brazil was heavily involved because he is backing this tournament being played in his country. Bolsonaro has been a controversial figure within the pandemic globally, and especially in Brazil. There are protests still taking place in Brazil from the citizens regarding his management or mismanagement of the pandemic. And Brazil, they're not unanimous, the citizens, even the national team, is not for this tournament. But clearly, when you have a politician of his stature backing the tournament, holding hands with a confederation president, you see that there the power and the politics involved in this sport. And so everyone from opposing national teams, Peru's national team coach, Ricardo Gareca, Argentina's national team coach, Luis Scaloni, have said publicly that it is a concern, that it is almost unfair that Brazil not only hosts the tournament due to their public health crisis, but once again, handing over a tournament to arguably the best team on the continent. So they're going to have that advantage of playing at home. I mean, in 2019, there were many dubious sort of refereeing decisions in favor of Brazil that were controversial in that sense, and they ended up winning the tournament. So it's difficult to say what the steps were that led to Brazil managing and hosting this tournament. Clearly, perhaps CONMEBOL had them in their back pocket, because when you have a president as powerful as Bolsonaro immediately backing the tournament despite what is happening in his country, I think, like you mentioned, the number of deaths, I think there are 16 million confirmed cases as well. You know, it speaks volumes of CONMEBOL's effort to do anything in their power to not cancel it. The United States was an option as kind of a last minute host. That did not happen. And so now you have Brazil hosting once again. There's just a sort of a dark cloud of controversy surrounding this tournament.
Soccer is so important to the fabric of Brazil, though they'd probably get really mad at me for calling it soccer in the first place. And I've read somewhere that Bolsonaro once wanted to be a soccer player himself. So I'm wondering, what exactly is he trying to achieve by hosting this tournament beyond maybe getting to see some live gameplay himself? What do you think his goals for hosting the Copa America are?
A political figure that is under fire, like Bolsonaro. And I think this is the case in any country. You know, there's that sort of tradition of deflecting and sort of shining the light on something else. And so now you're going to have a soccer tournament in this soccer crazed nation. And if this goes well, I mean, I don't know what success is for the Copa America under these conditions, but clearly he is a president that is heavily involved in the sport. I don't think you can even fathom an American president being involved at this level where he's actually, you know, calling a national team coach in order to exert pressure on them to support the tournament, which was what heavily reported both in Argentina and Brazil, where, you know, CONMEBOL's president held a Zoom call with some presidents of other federations in South America that are friendly to him. And he invited Bolsonaro onto the Zoom call. And the whole idea of the Zoom call was to exert pressure on the Brazilian national team and the Brazilian captain, who days earlier had publicly denounced the tournament. And so you have the most popular national team in the country, perhaps in the world, publicly against and opposing this tournament being held in their country. And so Bolsonaro has been heavily involved in trying to change the narrative around this tournament, which I think is fascinating. It's unique to South America. It's certainly unique to Brazil, but he will be a central figure throughout this tournament. I'm sure you will perhaps see him in a suite watching the Brazilian national team play. When they won in 2019, he was there lifting the trophy with them. And the national team coach is not pro Bolsonaro. So this national team coach, Tite, for Brazil, has been publicly opposing the politics of Bolsonaro. And although the federation in Brazil and CONMEBOL themselves have denied this, it was heavily reported that Bolsonaro even suggested and attempted to remove the current national team coach from Brazil, who is one of the most successful national team coaches in the history of Brazilian soccer, in order to place a manager that perhaps was friendlier to his politics. So all these things are surrounding the tournament as we step into the opening inaugural match, which is supposed to take place this Sunday between Brazil and Venezuela.
Yeah, there are four cities that Brazil has slated to host this tournament. It's Brasilia, Rio, Cuiabá, and Goiânia. And I'm wondering, what exactly are these matches going to look like in these cities? What are the protocols? Will there be fans? Will there be requirements for vaccination? How are they hosting a pandemic Copa America?
It's a great question. The term bubble has been used by the CONMEBOL perspective. I just don't think it's possible to do that. It's not something that is typical in South America. You've seen it here during the pandemic in the United States, both the NBA and Major League Soccer held bubble tournaments, which were widely regarded as, you know, being successful despite the challenges that they had. I mean, the Major League Soccer tournament had a team that had to drop out of the tournament due to a COVID outbreak within their tournament. So it's going to be strange. There will not be fans at the games in the Copa America. It's supposed to be behind closed doors, as they say. And, you know, you mentioned the four cities. There were governors of other cities that were slated to host games and said, you're not hosting games here. And so there was opposition from other governors throughout the country, from other states. And so now you have these four cities within the interior of Brazil that will host matches. It's going to be strange. The whole idea of Copa America and really South American football is the passion and the culture of the fans. So that will be absent. That's not going to be fun for anyone, from the players, from the casual observer that wants to tune in and watch. But at the same time, you're going to have these global stars like Neymar and Lionel Messi all taking part. It's just going to be like going back to the future when soccer and sport came back at the early stages of the pandemic, where it's empty stadiums, heavy COVID protocols. And you mentioned vaccines. CONMEBOL received over 50,000 doses of a Chinese vaccine. And that was a big newsworthy milestone for South America before all of this other sort of trouble happened. The problem you have there, while it's great to be vaccinating anyone during the pandemic, I think that on the flip side, you're going to be vaccinating, you know, millionaire soccer players, while many of the fans of these countries are still desperate for access to the vaccines. But that is part of this tournament. Staff players of these 10 nations should be vaccinated as they head into the tournament.
Yeah, in Brazil, you know, only 22% of the population is partially vaccinated. So I've seen a lot of criticism of forefronting these players and these staff members when the country is struggling so much to reach herd immunity. I was wondering if you could give a little bit more color on what soccer has looked like generally during the pandemic. Have games been going on the whole time in South America?
It's been strange. I think like sport in general during COVID-19, it's been a slog, you know, like it's not the same. I think from a journalistic perspective, I can even give my own personal opinion that it's been quite the experience to cover soccer during a pandemic. And while here in the United States, you're seeing fans back in the stadium, you're even seeing leagues and several teams within Major League Soccer back to full capacity. In South America, they are not close to that at all. And that's been, I think that's been like the most difficult reality for fans in South America, for national teams, for club teams. For instance, in Argentina, I think it was a day after they were expected to be sole hosts of the tournament, they canceled a local tournament in Argentina, which is, I think, the equivalent of like the FA Cup in England. A big tournament between domestic teams in Argentina had to be suspended due to COVID-19, more outbreaks. It's while we sort of have in the United States have moved on from athletes testing positive on a regular basis, in South America continues to be a problem. And so that is ongoing. Like I mentioned before, at the top leagues in South America, even the international tournaments, they're still playing with no fans whatsoever. And so I think that speaks volumes of where they are as far as progress, as far as vaccination goes. And again, while we perhaps in the United States and even in Europe are starting to perhaps see the light a little bit, they are squinting in South America. They see it as it's still dark. It's not anything that they can see, even celebrate at this point as far as sport coming back. They're very early in the pandemic when Argentina's president said, we need soccer. The people need soccer. He was heavily criticized from athletes and soccer players saying, we care about our health as well. You know, you're putting us at risk for just for entertainment value. And you mentioned that before, Chase, the importance of this sport, not only in Brazil, but perhaps throughout South America. It's a unifying sport in every country. And so far, it hasn't been the case.
You bring up Argentina. I even read a story that the River Plate team ran out of goalies because all the goalies had COVID. So I think it begs the question, is there a chance that the Copa America won't happen as has been sort of quickly planned? Is there any revolt that could stop the games?
It's difficult to say that, you know, even though in Brazil there's a Supreme Court proceeding in order to perhaps even argue whether this tournament should go on in Brazil. Now, it's obviously being led by the opposition Brazil Socialist Party, which is the opposing party to Bolsonaro's Conservative Party. But nonetheless, I think it just says how political this has become. And so in Argentina, you mentioned Argentina, you know, they were playing continental matches between Colombian teams and Argentine teams up until a few weeks ago in Colombia. And there were disturbances outside of the stadiums. The tear gas was seeping into the matches and affecting the players. They had to stop multiple big time continental soccer games because players could not handle the tear gas that was happening, that was being thrown outside from police to protesters. And so I think that is a potential for this tournament. You know, there won't be fans in the stands, but there will be fans around the stadiums. And if they take it upon themselves to send a message to the authorities that we are against this sort of tournament, it could potentially be a recipe for a disaster where you see similar occurrences of what happened in Colombia between, you know, police violence, anarchy, if you will, really, and violent protests in the streets, heavy police presence in the streets at every match. And to answer your question, yes, like it's too early, even though this is supposed to kick off on Sunday, to levy any sort of guarantees for this tournament, which, like you mentioned before, is supposed to end on July 10th. That is a long time to sort of try to manage all of these controversies and keep the peace in a country that is clearly very heavily divided on the tournament.
Brazil recently hosted the Olympics and the World Cup, and I know there's some talks in 2030 of a kind of South America regional hosting bid for the World Cup, because it'll be the 100th anniversary of the first games in Uruguay. And I'm wondering what this Copa America experience means for the future of South America hosting these big types of sporting events.
It's a great question, because that was what Colombia, I think, really did not want to let go of. Colombia, for so many years, affected by violence, has always wanted to show another side of their character to the world. And sport, you know, whether it's cycling or football, soccer in this sense, has been a way to show the world that we're much more than what you see in your paper. And by removing Colombia as host due to political violence, political unrest, civil unrest, it was a really dark stain for the country. It really hit the people really hard. And so Colombia is not alone in this picture, but they are perhaps this example of what can happen given this responsibility of hosting an international tournament when the world will be watching. I think in general, South America wants to always compete with Europe as far as how tournaments are not only organized, but consumed by the world. And, you know, you're going to see the European Cup also during the summer. I think it's going to compete as far as the quality of play, the quality of management, what is mismanaged, how the tournament is organized. And you mentioned the 2030 World Cup. It's very important for South America to be at the forefront of everything that is soccer. And lately, if you go back to the 2018 World Cup, you know, these countries in South America did not perform the way that they were expected to. Very early on in that tournament, when it got to the knockout stages, the 2018 World Cup became a European Cup. And so South America is once again trying to compete at that level, trying to be, you know, the premier confederation in the world's most popular sport. And this Copa America, I think, will set the stage, set the tone for what another international tournament could potentially look like in the future, hosted by one of these big South American countries. Of course, you'll have the COVID and the protocols kind of underlying this organization. But if things go drastically wrong during the Copa America, it could affect future tournaments, even something like a World Cup in 2030.
Absolutely. I've seen it called the Copa America, the Grave of the Americas, the Sepa America, which is a play on the Brazilian variant. So I think it brings me back to this big question, which is this worth the risk? You know, you've mentioned that it has the power to unify the continent. Soccer has been known during times of crisis to be a salve for the population. And this is big business, right? There's a lot of money to be made in hosting a tournament like this. So is it worth hosting the Copa America in the middle of a continuing pandemic?
I think the overwhelming answer is no. And clearly, you look at CONMEBOL and Jair Bolsonaro, Brazil in general, anyone that is in favor of this tournament, you could argue that they're favoring commercial interests over public health. And when Colombia was still a potential host of this tournament, there were reports of three of the biggest sponsors of the tournament wanting to pull out because they did not agree with a tournament being played during a pandemic. And so is it worth it? You know, like I mentioned before, and you've mentioned, soccer is the great unifier in South America. But just from my personal opinion, in talking to family members that I have in Colombia and speaking to colleagues throughout South America who are diehard soccer fans who live and breathe the sport, there's this sense of why now? Why are we doing this? And I think that speaks a volume of, you know, a sport that is so heavily laden in the culture throughout these 10 countries, being opposed to playing the biggest continental tournament that they have. And I think it speaks volumes about where they are in handling the pandemic. And at the same time, the countries, I think citizens around the world, but especially citizens in South America, they're still grappling with the heaviest effects of the pandemic. If you tell them this match is canceled, this tournament is suspended, I don't think they suffer through that anymore. It's not a shock like it was at the beginning where tournaments and were being canceled left and right, and it was affecting sport and it was affecting the financials of every sport in the world. Now it's like, if we should not be doing this, the majority of citizens are okay with that. And so going through and doing everything that is possible to get this tournament to play under these circumstances has really rubbed citizens the wrong way. And pushing through with a Copa America while everyone wants to see and support their national teams, they're in this philosophical sort of crisis of whether or not to support their national teams, support the countries. I think what CONMEBOL believes is that when it comes down to it, when your national team is on the field, fans will support them.
Are you going to be watching on Sunday?
Of course. I mean, from a journalistic perspective, I will be covering the Copa America for The Athletic. So I am somewhat forced to do so. As a fan of the sport, as a Colombian American, of course I want to see Colombia perform well, but it'll be under a certain microscope of, should we be doing this? Like, I think fans and even casual observers will be watching the tournament expecting something to go wrong. There was a lot of talk. I even received many, you know, DMs from fans asking, have any players pulled out yet? And so far that has not happened. But like you saw during the initial stages of sport coming back in the United States and in Europe, when they tried bubble tournaments, it was not COVID free. You know, players were still testing positive. Teams had to drop out of tournaments. And I think that is something that could happen in the Copa America. And it'll be interesting to see how the Confederation manages that. And if it even happens, if things go wrong, you already have the biggest national team in South America, which is Brazil, publicly opposing the tournament. What happens if Brazil has a poor performance and the public outcry against the tournament goes to another level? If a player tests positive for COVID-19, if there were public disturbances around the stadium, how does CONMEBOL react? And what will coverage around the world look like? It's tough to positively spin Copa America right now during this pandemic.
It's going to be really interesting and perhaps frightening to see what happens. But Felipe, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Anytime, Chase. I had a great time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Karin Zissis. This episode was produced by Katie Hopkins. The music in this podcast was recorded at America Society in New York City. For more about concerts online, visit musicoftheamericas.org. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can help us spread the word by writing a review, giving us 5 stars, sharing, and subscribing at Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.